Welcome to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. Every Nation is a Bible-believing, multi-ethnic, non-denominational church hoping to transform the world one life at a time. We hope you enjoy this podcast.
How many has been enjoying the sermon series that we're on? Isn't it awesome? You know, it's, yes, it's called Casket Empty. Awesome. So we're going through the whole Bible, and we started with C for creation. In fact, I think I was the one that even started that one out. So right from the beginning, we start with creation. We look, our eyes look up to God. He is our creator. He's the creator of heaven and earth. And the good news is he created us in his image. Isn't that awesome? We are created in the image of God. And he not only created us in his image, he gave us free will to do what we would want to do with this life. And we all know the story, Adam and Eve, what they did with their free will. When temptation came, they succumbed to it and sin entered the world. But how many know that God's heart is to totally be reconciled to man? Do you know that? Yeah, that's his heart. And the whole Bible and the whole storyline is God being reconciled back to us. So then we go to A, Abraham. Now this Abraham, he is called the father of our faith, the call on his life. And God, we spoke about all the promises. God promised him that his descendants would be as numerous as the stars. And who are his descendants? Who are they? It's us. We are his descendants. And every week he is adding to our numbers. Every week more and more are coming to know that he is God. So as we go through the Bible, right, as we're going and we're reading all these stories and we're getting to know who God is, we're getting to know his ways, we're getting to know how much he loves us. But most of all, we're knowing who God is, that God is sovereign, that he is the ultimate authority, that all things are under his control. And as we realize this, what will happen is we will begin to have an understanding of what the fear of the Lord is. Now, the fear of the Lord is something that you can treasure in your heart. And you know why? Because the fear of the Lord will make you draw close to God, will make you depend on God, will make you be empowered by God. That's what it does. It draws you. You take refuge in him. So when temptation comes our way, how many people are tempted? In this life, yes. So when temptation comes our way, we know where to go for strength. And you know where that strength lies? It lies in the pause. You pause, and it is a split-second decision. Are you going to go and succumb to the sinful nature from before? Or are you going to turn to God and his strength to empower you and draw strength from him? It's our choice. And you know what story I love? Pastor Adam, doesn't he tell awesome stories? Rockin'. Well, one of my favorite stories of his is, do you ever hear the one where he's in the gym? Minding his own business, he's in the gym, he is on the treadmill, trucking along, minding his own business, da 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 da. And what happens? Some woman, some scantily clad woman, comes right there, walks before him. So all of a sudden he's like, ugh, right? He's drawn. Men are visually stimulated, right? So he's like, wah. His natural instinct is to be drawn. But what is he going to do with that? It's a split second decision. Is he going to succumb and all this mind goes into all these different directions? Or is he going to turn to God? Is he going to take refuge in God? Who will empower him? And you know what he does? I love it. He grabs a hold of a scripture. And he's found in Proverbs, and he fills his mind with it. And he says, may my wife's breasts satisfy me. May I always just be enamored with her love. Right? Now, is that, how could he possibly have these fantasies after he went to that? It's a split second decision. that we all make, and there is a power waiting for us as we take refuge in the Lord God Almighty. God is calling us. He has called a God-fearing people, men and women who he has set apart to make a difference and have an impact on this world around us. And are you ready to do that? I am, right? So now we come, so we went to A, now we come to S for Sinai, right? So we talk all about Moses. What about Moses here? We all know about Moses, right? Moses, I mean, he was the one that God used to deliver them, deliver the people out of slavery. And it was an awesome story how they got to the Red Sea and the waters opened up. The waters opened up and that they were set free, right? And then the water came crashing down on Pharaoh and the people. But what happened? You know, the people had seen this great miracle. But what did they do? What did they do? They got in the wilderness and they just stayed there for 40 years. And so we learned all about that. Now, they had been set free from slavery and brought to this new place, but they didn't know how to live in that liberty. And it's the same thing with us. Do you know that when you are born again, God has set you free from sin? Do you still have that pull? Yes, you are no longer a slave to sin. Do you know what you're called? Does anyone know what you're a slave to? Righteousness. Isn't that powerful? Because as soon as you are, your heartbeat wants to do God's ways. So that's where you turn. There's power in the Word of God. And again, we learn from all of these people. We learn from what happened in the wilderness. So now we're going to K for Kings. Now, it's first of all, you need to know it wasn't God's idea to give them a king. But if you ask for something, a lot of God will give that to you. He'll give it to you. Sometimes, even if it isn't his best plan, if you ask, he says, okay. So this is what he said, okay, I'll give it to you. So he went in 1 Samuel 10, 17 through 19, this is what he said. In Samuel, it said, Samuel summoned the people of Israel to the Lord of Mizpah and said to them, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel says, I brought you out of Egypt. I delivered you from the power of Egypt and those kingdoms that oppressed you, but you now rejected your God who saves you out of all these disasters and calamities. And you have said, no, appoint a king over us. So now present yourself before the Lord in your tribes and clans. So God said, okay, here they had the God, Almighty God. They had him. He was their king. But they said, no, I want a man. So what they did, he gave them King Saul, and he was a doozy, right? He was a doozy. Now, have you noticed now, Pastor Adam, he chose to go away to visit, Lizzie. He went away to visit his daughter, right? He could have gone any time, but he chose this week to go and leaves me with Saul. Now, he got to preach about Abraham. He got to preach about Moses and Joseph. And here I am with Saul. But we learn from every one of these characters. We learn. Now, there are few people in the Bible whose life is as tragic as Saul's. It really is, you know. And the reason being is he started out with this incredible beginning. He was filled with all these blessings. The power of the living God was upon him. And then he ended up looking to a witch for help. And he ended up dying with his sons, you know, in battle, you know. But he started out strong. But what was his downfall? And as I prayed, I said, God, what do you want me to talk about here? You know, what was his downfall? And you know what God told me? There was no fear of the Lord in this man. None. So you know where he was? Know where his fears lied? He was afraid of men. He was afraid of circumstances. He didn't take refuge in God. So he was down here, constantly afraid of everything that was coming at him. And so what happened is all of the things, he wanted to please men rather than God. And so because he was stuck on this plane, what happened is became filled with pride, became self-consumed, and he became trapped in his own ego. He became totally entrapped in it because God was small. So he became big in his eyes, but he wasn't, and he was entrapped. And it made the decisions. And all his worth was wrapped up in what people thought. When here the God of the universe, it said, I have appointed you. I've empowered you. That was all there for him. But his fears lay here. But in contrast, he was surrounded by godly people, God-fearing people, people who love God, who took their refuge in God. Now, there is Samuel, who is the prophet. He was the prophet who is the one that actually anointed him. And how about Hannah? I love Hannah. Hannah was Samuel's mom. For years, she prayed and she asked for a child, and she was barren. And I want to encourage any one of you, if you ask for something and it's happened, don't give up, because God is there, faithful to that one that will keep on praying and keep on asking. And she did. She kept on tugging and praying and praying. And then finally, when in her desperation, she said, God, if you'll just give me a child, I'll give him back to you. And that was God's will for Samuel. And that's what she did. And then God blessed her, and she had other children. Yeah. He was surrounded. Saul was surrounded by all these godly people. And then the next one, the next king, King David. Now, if you notice, who's going to preach on King David next week? Pastor Adam. I would have gladly. I love King David. I can go there maybe a little bit today. But here was King David. Now, what is he known for? He is known as a man after God's own heart, who would do all of God's will. And again, he was a God-fearing man. That's what he was. Now, being the fear of the Lord is not about being afraid. Because being afraid, you run. You can't run from God. You know, the fear of the Lord is centered as you realize how big God is, and you realize your fate is in his hands. That's what you realize. And as you realize that, you take refuge in him. And these fears that happen on this level, no, they're not there, because you're taking refuge in him. And David, he spoke about how wonderful, what will happen for those who are God-fearing people. And this is what he said in Psalms 31:19. How abundant are the good things you have stored up for those who fear you, who treasure you in the heart, who draw close to you, that you bestow in the sight of all on those who take refuge in you. That is there for us. That is there. And God is saying, this is the day I want to draw you close. Draw you close and take refuge in me. So getting back to Saul. Saul just did not know. So he stayed on this plane when a whole other plane of existence had been opened up to him. A whole other plane. God had anointed him to be and walk in his power. And do you know what? Everyone here that's a born again child of God, we have been called to a whole new level. In this house, a whole new level on this earth. We have been called, we are anointed and appointed, and the presence of God is upon us. Do you realize that? Do you realize that? God has set us apart, and we are called to live in another plane of existence. We're called to live in the supernatural realm, which in essence is just above the natural realm, in the kingdom of God. We're called to live above all of these things. Why? Because the presence of God is within us. But to walk in the fullness of that, we can stay right here in the superficial. This world is very superficial, and we can hang out here and do our thing, never really tapping into that power. But that power is there for every born-again child of God, because the presence of God is in you. And how that happens, you know where that happens? It happens because you pause long enough to tap into it. And you're going along and you say, God, I need you. God, direct my steps. Or if a temptation comes, like P.A., he took his refuge. Did you see that? He took his refuge in God. And he declared God's word. One of the most powerful things that we can have in this world, in this life, it's the sword. It's the sword in our hand. It is the word of God. And it is powerful when you use it and you apply it to your life. It's not how many you memorize, it's how many you're applying to your life. And one of the ones that I love, that I apply to my life, it resonates with me, and it's found in Acts 17:28. And I either declare it outwardly or I declare it in my mind. And it's in him I live and move and have my being. And when I say that, it's like a floodgate opens up from my spirit and the presence of God fills my soul. Because that presence, that power is in our spirit. Now, our soul is our mind, our will, and our emotions. For that to be empowered, it has to be opened up, and it has to saturate your soul. And the word of God will do that. When you take refuge in God, he will do that. So when I'm overwhelmed, say if I'm worried and I'm overwhelmed, I feel these emotions, that's what I'll say. In him, I live and move and have my being. And it's a floodgate that saturates me and peace floods my soul. If I'm overwhelmed in mourning, I say, in him I live and move and have my being. And comfort saturates my soul. Whatever you're experiencing, say anger is rising up. It's a split-second decision. You say no. And you say, in him I live and move and have my being. When it comes to ministry, and you're stepping out, you say, in him I live and move and have my being. And that does, it's a floodgate that'll go from the Spirit of God to come in whatever you might need. It could be peace, it could be comfort, it could be a word, it could be wisdom. So I want you to grab a hold of the word, grab a hold and know that it will open that up so that whatever you might need will flood your soul. But getting that back to Saul, right? He did not do that. He did not know God. So he was lacking in power. And you and I, if we don't rely on God and we're trying to do it on our own, we too can get trapped in our own egos, our own self, trying to do it on our own. And when we try to do it on our own, we're just going to lack in power. And you learn that. But God said, come to me. It's all there waiting to be released in us. Are you ready to go there? You're ready to go there? Whatever. Patience. What? Say some of the things you need that rise up in you. Give me something else that might come up. What's that? Courage. Yes. Courage. Say you need courage. You're frightened. I had to do that. I had to say that before I got up here. Every time I get up, there's always like, oh, please, you know. But I did. I said, nope, I don't have to. I said, in him I live and move and have my being. He'll be with me. Courage to step out in the call on your life. Courage to step out to be his witness. Whatever it might be, it is there. And I encourage you to take that scripture, meditate on it. Let it become a part of you, like it's a part of me. And it does. It floods my whole soul. It's powerful. It's powerful. Now, along the way, we learn from all of these stories, all of these different stories. In my life, I have learned a great deal from the people that surround me. And as a baby Christian, when I came into the church, there were many different examples. Some were good, but I have to say, most of them ran amok. I have to tell you, a lot of people just ran amok. It was like I experienced a great deal of what I saw. But the good news was that you can learn from both. And I'm happy to say a lot of these people, they've grown past that. But we can learn. You know, we don't have to be put off when people in the church, maybe they aren't acting quite the way they should. We can learn from it. We can look at it and say, oh, dear Lord, by the grace of God, don't let me do that. Instead of judging others or thinking of others. Does that make sense to you? Have you done that? So if there's anyone that's ever disappointed you in your past, that you've seen it in the church, don't hold on. Don't let that stop you. Just say, God, by the grace of God, there goes I. Let me learn that I won't go down that path. But now I want to highlight one of the people that really was a really good influence on me, that was a great example to me. And this was one of the women. She was a great prayer warrior. So when I started to learn to pray, I would pray with her, and I would find that every time I prayed with her, I would actually go to a higher level of prayer, but that was the anointing that was upon her. And I loved to pray with her. She was my mentor, and, you know, I just clung to her. I looked up to her. And then one day she just turned on me and didn't like me anymore. I was like, why don't you like me? And she just didn't like me. And I was devastated. You know, I mean, this was my mentor, you know. And I was like, you know, but as I look back, I realized what had happened. Like, we were in the dance ministry together. And I was a young Christian, a baby Christian, and everyone was making a big fuss over me, telling me how cool I was and da-da-da. And pride started to come in, and I started to become a legend in my own mind. I mean, it was happening. You know, it's like, here I am. And I don't know how many people noticed, but she noticed because she was close to me. And she's like, go away. But the mistake she made is she started telling everyone else about it. Like, that didn't come to me. So she's talking about me to everybody else. Oh, that Dottie, you know. But in the thing is, that's what everybody did, you know. Everybody was talking about everybody else back then. And even that had an impact on me because I said, you know, I said, God, does it have to be this way? And he said, no. And so now in this church, ladies, will you agree? Are we women that are gossiping about one another and putting? No. He's right. We are in this place. God said, this is the way it can be. People, men and women, filled with confidence, fulfilling the call on their life, that have the confidence and the boldness and the courage. If something is wrong with someone else, you'll go right to them rather than that. That's what we're raising up. But that had that influenced me for that to be important. That's what I said. All things work for the good of those who love God and are called for his purpose. He can take everything that's happened to you as long as you look to him for it. So anyway, getting back to my friend. So here we are. She wants nothing to do with me. But anyone that's tried to get rid of me knows there's just no getting rid of me. I mean, there's just no getting rid of me. So she could not get rid of me. So we used to pray. We'd pray at the altar. So I would come to pray, and the look on her face was like, ugh, she wanted nothing to do with me. But it didn't stop me. I said, I'm coming. I'm praying with her. So we would pray, and little by little, it started to break down our defenses. But then the thing that really did it, right? Well, I thought of it because it was this weekend, and a new pastor was coming to the church. It wasn't Pastor Adam, it was somebody else. But anyway, we were introducing a new pastor to the church, and we were going to have a barbecue at someone's house. There was a pool. It was this beautiful setting. So me, being Dottie, who I am, my first thing is like, okay, I'm going to go, and I'm going to pick out the perfect outfit. I'm going to pick out the perfect bathing suit. I'm going to have my hair just so, my makeup on, ready to go and meet the new pastor, right? So I get there, and I'm floating around on a raft, you know, minding my own business, you know, hair all done and da-da-da. And I see her in the water. I see this glint in her eye. It was like Jaws, right? And boom, boom, she's coming at me, right? And she goes under the raft and throws me up in the air under the water. Here I am, flathead, my false eyelashes are hanging off my cheeks like caterpillars. I mean, I'm a mess, right? So all I knew is it was already done. I couldn't do anything about it. I said, I'm going to go for it. So they called me Duncan Dottie, you know, and all the kids would throw me in the water. But that did it. That was it for her. She said that because I act in such a gracious way, it broke everything off of her. And we're still friends to this day. I mean, in fact, she was at my mother's wake. That's how close we still are. And that's a true friend, true friendship. I wanted to encourage you. You have any ruffling with a friend, you hold on to them. You fight it out. You duke it out. You wrestle it out with them. Because that's when true, strong friendships will occur. It was not perfect. Nothing in this life is perfect. But we should be going right to that person. And there's a respect that, and you grow from that. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. But anyway, getting back to Saul. Now, God chose him to be the first king. Again, he was a doozy. And but it was Samuel that he sent to anoint him. And so in 1 Samuel 10:1, this is what it said. Then Samuel took a flask of olive oil, poured it on Saul's head, and kissed him, saying, "Has not the Lord anointed you ruler over his inheritance?" Yeah, beautiful. So that's how he started. And then we go down to verse 6 and 7. It says, the Spirit of the Lord, he's told him, the Spirit of the Lord will come powerfully upon you. Do you see the similarity in us? We've got God's favor. The presence of God is there with us. Yes, and you will prophesy with them, and you will be changed into a different person. Once these signs are fulfilled, do whatever your hand finds to do, for God is with you. Now, he started out strong. His first one, he was good. He was cool. He went into battle. He had authority. He spoke about that authority. He stepped out in it. The men all gathered, and he won. They won, and then he gave God the glory. He gave him the glory. He said, the Lord has rescued Israel. But he didn't stay there. It did not last. And you know why? Because God was small in his eyes. God was little. He didn't know God. He wasn't taking refuge in God. So he was still on this plane of existence, what God had called him to, a higher plane. But he stayed here. So he was afraid of man. He was afraid of circumstances. And that's what drove the decisions he made. And if we're not careful, that can happen to us. But God says, you come to me, oh wow, and you see what I'll do as you cling to me, as you take refuge in me. My favor, everything will be there. I'll empower you. It's all there for us. So anyway, he made the wrong decisions. So the second battle, it starts to come out. There it comes. Samuel had instructed him, which was from God. He said to wait 7 days before you do the sacred offering. But Saul started to panic because there were a lot of Israelites. There was a big army coming after him, a large army. And the men were scattering. They were panicking, so he panicked also. Now, in the natural realm, which you and I, when we look at things in the natural realm, the odds were so against him. If he was looking, which he was just looking at eyes. He wasn't looking at God, what God could do. He was looking at what he could do. And because of that, the natural realm, he was filled with fear. And this is, in the natural realm, the odds were so against him. Do you believe there were 30,000 chariots, 6,000 horsemen? Now, 30,000 chariots, that's the largest number of chariots ever to come to fight a battle recorded in ancient times. Now, God planned that. God planned that. He loves to stack the odds against us. He loves to make it look the odds are stacked against us. And where are you going to go when that happens? Are you going to take refuge in him? Yes. And what will happen is as we do, when you do, as you come, as you run to him, your fears, you won't fear what's going on here. If you look at the godly people in the Bible, they were not afraid of what was going on down here because they were so close to God. David knew. They all knew what God would do. That if God is for me, who can be against me? You know? And we need to know that. That it's the fear of the Lord, God fearing, clinging to God, going to him. We won't be so afraid of what's going on down here. You know, and we heard a great tithe message from Jason, and I thought of my own life, you know, when the odds were stacked against us with me and Jim, you know, he needed surgery, heart surgery, you know, where they turn his heart off, his heart isn't even moving, it's pumping, it's done that. I mean, a dangerous operation, and the odds were against us as far as bills went, you know, and the mountain of hospital bills that were there, and he wasn't able to work, but we chose to do it God's way. We chose to give the tithe because we have been tithing for many years. And what happened, God was there. And it was truly of God. Every bill was paid. All the hospital bills were paid. All our bills. And as much as Jim was out of work, we ended up with more money at the end than if he had worked the whole time. Isn't that awesome? That's God. That is God. And God is saying, children, don't stay in this natural realm when the supernatural realm has been opened up to you. I have all these blessings waiting for you, but you have to pause, tap into it, and choose my ways. I think of a friend, too. One of my girlfriend's friends, her brother was at death's door. at death's door. The odds were against him. I mean, it was the doctor gave him a bad report. He was, the blood work was there. I mean, he was down to skin and bones. He was at death's door. But he never stopped believing. He never stopped praying. He was like Hannah, who just said, I know where my help comes from. It's from God. And with his last breath, he was still crying out and depending on God. And God raised him up out of that deathbed. Out of that deathbed. That was God's perfect timing. He could have healed him in the beginning when he said that prayer. He waited till he was at death's door. So never give up in prayer. God will see you just reaching out and crying out and praying. And then he raised him up. And the call on his life is to preach the gospel. And he tells his story. And many people are healed. He lays hands on the sick and they are healed. Powerful. That's God. That's God. But getting back to Saul. Notice I have to add some encouraging stories amongst it. Can we go to Saul? It's like dropping a rock. Saul, right? So here he is, Saul again. Oh, he had a lot of choices, but he didn't make the right choices, obviously, along the way. So Samuel, God had said to him, listen, you know, wait 7 days and wait until I get back before we do the sacred offering. But he didn't wait. When Samuel didn't come by the seventh day, he chose to do that. And he had no right to. He had no right to. That wasn't his place. But he chose to do that. And what happened, Samuel came right when he was doing it. He just waited a little bit longer, but he didn't, because that was his heart. You know, he was seeing things from this level, from this level. And so Samuel rebuked him and said, but now, in Samuel 13:14, but now your kingdom will not endure. He told him, your kingdom is not going to endure. The Lord has sought out for himself a man after his own heart. The Lord has appointed him to rule over his people because you have not kept what the Lord has commanded. Why? Because Saul didn't know. He didn't take his refuge in God. He didn't understand the power of God, that what he was walking in. He didn't understand that mantle that was on him. And God is saying to you today, do you understand that mantle, that authority, that power and presence of God that's on you? Do you? Do you? If you do, say yes. Do you? Yeah. And if you don't, today is the day to step into that and pause long enough to step into it to see God empower you. Now, Saul, his next test came along, and he was asked to destroy the Amalekites. Amalekites, is that right, Ellen? Good, she's my little dictionary over here. I love her. You know, I'll go to the dictionary, and they have the things to tell you how to say it. I still can't figure out how to say it. I say, you know, so it's still, but my Ellen, I go to my Ellen. All right, so here it, and then here is what he said. 1 Samuel 15:3. Now go, attack the Amalekites, and totally destroy all that belong to him. Do not spare them. Put to death men, women, children, cattle, sheep, camels, and donkeys. And he did. He did do that. He defeated them. That's what he did. But you know what the problem was? He didn't carry out all of the instructions because he started to listen to what the men said, what the people said. And so he was pulled in a totally different direction from really hearing from God because he was influenced by the men. He was pressured by them. And the thing is, too, he was clueless. He didn't even realize that he hadn't done it. You know, that can show you there can always be blinders. You have to always ask the Lord, keep the blinders off my eyes. So when Samuel came, this is what he said. He goes, the Lord bless you. I have carried out the Lord's instructions. He didn't even know. You know, yet your heart has to actually break for him. You know, he was like the, what do you call when you throw somebody out and that's the one that, you know, that's going to be used as that example. You know, because he just didn't know. He was not in touch. And so Samuel, he had to go further with him. Now, Samuel was totally different. He did not fear man. If you know Samuel, he went out there right from the very beginning. If God gave him a word, he didn't care, good or bad, he went and he gave it to them. Right? Why? Because he didn't fear man. And you won't fear man if you're taking your refuge in God. That is the point. All that power is there for us. And the more you know God, the thing is, the more you take your refuge in him, the more you know him, the easier it is to obey him. Because you know what the word says? Those who love me will obey me. And then obedience becomes second nature to us as we grow to know him. But anyway, Samuel came. He had to lay it out and tell him. And he says, 1 Samuel 15, 17 through 19, although you were once small in your own eyes, did you not become the head of the tribes of Israel? The Lord anointed you the king of Israel. He sent you on a mission saying, go, completely destroy the wicked people, the Amalekites, wage war against them till they are wiped out, all of them. Why did you not obey the Lord? Why did you not pounce on them? Why did you do evil in the eyes of the Lord? Finally, it was spelled out for him, and he got it. He got it. And this was his words. He said, then Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned. I have violated the Lord's commands and your instructions. I was afraid. I was afraid of the men, so I gave in to them. I was afraid of the men. I beg you, forgive my sins. Come back with me so I can worship the Lord. No, so what did he do? He's looking to Samuel to forgive him. How different it might have been even then at that moment. God, you know what God is a sweet fragrance to the Lord? Is a repentant heart. A heart of repentance, a heart that comes. But he's going to Samuel asking, right? Samuel, rather than God, it might have been different if he had gone to God. It was hard if he had really begged and gone to God. The whole thing could have been different. And you see the difference between him and David. Remember David? I mean, Samuel was the one that broke the good news to him, too. He had no fear of man. He went and told him. He goes to him and tells him what he did. He's the one that called him out on his stuff. Told him, look what you did with Bathsheba. Look what you did with her husband. You sent him out to die. But what did David do? He went to the Lord, a heart of repentance, and he cried out. And he said, God, search me. See if there's anything in me that doesn't line up with you. And then you know what he begged for? God, don't take your Holy Spirit from me, God. Why? Because he'd seen it taken from Saul. So God saw all that Saul did. David watched it. And he said, no, I'm not going there. And he begged God. How different the two of them were. And then that's what happened to Saul, because Samuel said to Saul, I will not go back with you. You have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you as the king over Israel. And then his fate was sealed. God had chosen another. He chose David. He chose David, the man after his own heart. And then he took Samuel and he said, Samuel, you go. This is the one. This is the one. And he said, Samuel. So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of God came powerfully upon him. Yeah. And that was that. That was that. And then God said, here is a man after my own heart who will do all of my will. How different David was. When David went into battle, he always asked God, is it your will that I do this? Should we do this, God? Are you with me? And he didn't stop. He kept asking and asking and asking. God didn't always answer him right away. He took a while, but he didn't go until God said, and once he did, that was it. He knew the battle was already won. And we can do the same thing. Is it your will, God? Do you want me to do this? Get that throwing, walk out there, and know that God will be with us. It didn't matter. The odds were against him many times, many of those battles, but he had the confidence that God was with him. And God wants us to walk in that same confidence. We can walk in that same confidence, empowered by God in all that we do. But it's found as you pause. You pause and you turn. You turn away from trying to do it on your own, and you turn to God, where you'll be empowered by him. And Jesus, he's the one that opened that door to you and I. He's the one that opened that door that you and I would be born again. And it's that place where heaven meets earth. And that place is here for all of us. And you know who's standing at the door? It's Jesus. And what is he saying? I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So I want to ask you, are you secure in your salvation? Are you totally secure in that? Because God wants you to be secure in your salvation. And the only way you can really be secure in your salvation is to know it's not about doing, it's about what's already been done. It's not about our good works or if we still might struggle with some area. God is there to empower us, to break that off of us. He sees our heart. It's all about what's been done, and it's what Jesus did, that he died for us, that he bore our sins, that as we receive him as our Lord and Savior, as we ask for forgiveness, his blood will just wash over us, and we become a clean vessel that the presence of God can come into and fill us and empower us to live this life. And then is when we truly know in him, because he's in us, I live and move and have my being. So I want to pray with anyone here, just bow your heads. Anyone that doesn't know the Lord, you've never made him your Lord and Savior. But even those, do you ever have doubts that you're saved because you might struggle in some area and you have this, and it's Satan, it's if he's a liar that's telling you you're not saved. And if there's any question in that, I want to take that out of you. And we can pray and again declare him as Lord and Savior. It's not about our doing, it's about what he has already done.
Thanks for listening to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. For more information on our church, or if you'd like to give a financial gift, just go to our website, emcnj.org.